Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right, praise God and pass the ammunition. That's what you do when you're in battle. You praise God and pass the ammunition. You give somebody something to shoot the devil with. Amen. It is great to be with you again. Let's give God a big praise. Let's give God a big shout. You can do things as leadership, and some people are happy, some people are upset, and then you can undo what you just decided to do, and then some people are happy and some people are upset. I've come to realize that no matter what, some people are going to be happy and some people are going to be upset. I don't know where you are in that category today. I hope you're happy. I hope you're pleased. I hope you're happy with the things that God is doing, because that means you're not focused on what the enemy's doing in all the cultural things that we've got going on. The reason we prayed, the eldership and pastoral leaders just prayed a lot and met. And we just really felt like the best thing we can do with all the rising numbers was to keep you safe as possible. And with that decision, we just made those decisions. With that prayer time, we just made those decisions to not come in the house until the numbers were doing something better than what we're seeing. They're still increasing, but the Lord, I would be also praying, God, we can't do this forever, so what can we do? So lead us in that direction. So we were led in that direction, and that's the reason we have purchased these active pure machines that is in all of our buildings and fully working, been working ever since Wednesday and Thursday. And I'm going to show you a video a little bit about how this thing works. It's just a couple of minutes long so you can understand it a little bit better.
The virus that causes COVID-19 and other pathogens are reminders that bad air can kill. You want protection to keep you healthy and give you peace of mind, but you won't settle for just any protection. You want the best out there. Active Pure. The Active Pure system has origins in the NASA space program. It's even been inducted into the Space Foundation Hall of Fame. Active Pure is used daily by hospitals, schools, sports arenas, restaurants, government buildings, homes, and more. So how does it work? The Active Pure system dispatches invisible supercharged submicroscopic particles at tremendous speed. The particles collide with viruses, bacteria, and other nasty things and immediately turn them into harmless byproducts. Active Pure works immediately on both air and surfaces. It comes in portable and built-in units for any space, from gigantic ballrooms to elevators. It's affordable, easy to install, and virtually maintenance-free. It's like invisible personal protective equipment, or PPE, for you and your pets. Sounds too good to be true? Independent FDA-compliant lab testing has shown that, within minutes, Active Pure neutralizes more than 99.9% of pathogens, including the virus that causes COVID-19. The Active Pure Medical Guardian, powered by the same Active Pure technology as our other products, has been cleared by the FDA as a Class 2 medical device. There's only one Active Pure. Beware of claims for other systems like HEPA, bipolar ionizers, and UV light. They're slow and ineffective. Some trap pathogens, but don't destroy them. In fact, many of them are so dangerous people can't even be in the same room while they operate. No system cleans the air faster, safer, or more effectively than Active Pure. To give your family and your customers peace of mind, choose Active Pure, protecting lives with air you can trust. To get Active Pure for your home, office, store, or organization, go to www.activepure.com or contact your local distributor.
Amen. So how that thing works, it fills the air with these particles, whatever they are, not particles really, but it kills the virus that causes COVID-19 up to 99.96%. And so we have all of our campuses, all of our buildings equipped and running. Family Life Center, Kids Church, classrooms down below the Kids Church. Also here in the two hallways for the nurseries. So we have got the airflow going that kills COVID. You know, so it makes us safer. Also, it kills it on the surfaces as well. You have to run it 7 hours for it to do that. So we just really felt like God led us in that direction. The church invested close to $11,000 to be able to get this done. We felt like you, his people, are worth every penny. So, but before I get into the message, my message today that I really felt like God gave me a couple of weeks ago, really, but it's the war against unity and the war against oneness. But before we do that, I want to pray just a little bit. We need to continue to pray for Miss Rita during this time. She really needs comfort and strength, and we need to pray for her. We also need to pray for Karen and Eric Von Briel. Karen is really struggling with COVID and with her breathing. We need to pray for Donnie Roop and Tony Roop. That is Gina Roop. That's Gina Wilson's brothers. And Tony's doing better, but Donnie's still struggling a little. We need to pray for David Russell. That's Cricket Russell's husband. He's struggling. And we need to pray for Von Clark. He is still in the hospital, and he is very critical. So let's just pause for a moment. And we'll let God, yeah.
Pray for my grandson. We got a call last night. He has COVID.
Little Ori, yeah. Your grandson has COVID?
Yeah, they called last night.
How old is he?
11.
He's 11. Okay, so anybody else?
Danny Weeks?
Danny Weber. Weber, okay. You know, we've been praying for her. Nancy Thomas called us and told us about that, and we've been praying for her. But Blakely. But she went through a brain surgery.
Yeah, it was successful.
Yeah, it went as good. Yeah. Still need to pray for her. Right. And she's a visitor with us today. Good to have you guys. It really is. Thank you for coming today. Yeah.
My brother-in-law, Mike, he's on ventilator in the hospital with COVID.
Brother-in-law?
Mike.
Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
He's been in there for a month on ventilator.
Okay. Anthony Holler,
he's recovering from COVID.
Anthony is in rehab. He is in rehab recovering, but we still need to pray for him. Anybody else?
Yes, pray for Miss
Georgia
King.
Georgia King. Okay. Okay. I can't hear you. Frida
Cordell.
Okay.
And I'd like to say pray for Kathy Thomas, my cousin George. He passed away last Sunday evening. He's 49, and his wife was at home, 47, was at home with COVID pneumonia and wasn't allowed to be with him and had to say her goodbye over a video call.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
The founding pastor of the church there in Capacuar is still in really critical condition.
Right.
Many of the Christians there, it's such a small group of Christians, and many of them are struggling.
Yeah, that's the people, Somervilles, that we support in Mexico, and their pastor. And did you lose me again? Okay. Yes. Josh? Okay.
I'd like to say that there is hope. Lydia had COVID, and she's fine. She's doing great. The hope is Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen. Amen. We'll pray for hope. Anybody else?
I had all my shots, and everybody around me had it.
Okay.
Still don't make me
Okay. 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 Anybody else? I don't want to.
Pray for all the first responders, all the nurses, the doctors.
First responders. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ryan Harold Fell had it about a month ago. And both of them, he's 80 now. She's probably 79. But they're both well active again.
Praise God.
Okay. God is good. Anybody else? Okay. Now, my memory is about, I don't know where it's at sometimes. But what I want you to do, I'm sorry?
God knows.
God knows. That's true. What I want you to do is I'd like for you to just sort of stand up. And if you had one of those, just for your group, I'm not saying get in the group, you can stay in your place. Just tell the five or six or two or three that's around you. Everybody, I want everybody to stand up. And whoever, if you raise your hand, you just tell one or two people their names and we'll have prayer time, okay? Just tell, right now, just go ahead and tell one or two people their names. And that way, everybody that was requested prayer will get prayer. You don't have to hold hands. You don't have to do any of that. I'm not asking you to do that. Just give them the names. All right. Pastor Charlie, could you come up and just play just for a moment as we go into this prayer time? Eric, I just mentioned your name. Is Karen better? She's getting there, but she still needs prayer. It's good to have you back. It really is. Hey, Holly. Okay, so just go into praying right now, just crying out to God. You know, over these 5 weeks, we had over 30 people that was connected to our congregation that had it. So, Father, you've heard all these requests. You've heard the hearts of the people that says, please pray for this person, this relative, this brother, sister, mother, father, brother-in-law. Children, grandchildren. Lord, you heard the cries of your people. And in the midst of all of this, Lord, there's so many limitations, so much limitations that we... But you're not limited. So we call upon you. Lord, we ask you to move on behalf of these that have been mentioned today. We just ask you in the name of Jesus to touch their lives. We ask you in the name of Jesus to deliver them. We ask you to heal them. We ask you, Father, to show yourself strong and mighty. And Lord, we just pray for those that have lost people. Rita is struggling. We just ask you, God, to just give her comfort and give her strength this very moment. And others that have lost people, we ask you that the God and Father of all comfort go to them right now and let them tangibly feel you holding them, embracing them, and loving them, encouraging them, strengthening them, building them up. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We stand on your word. We stand on your promises. We lean in. We press into you. And we thank you for hearing our prayer. And we thank you ahead of time for answering our prayer. Thank you for those that have had COVID and got over it. Lord, I know Pastor Charlie and Miss Lynn and several others have had and struggled greatly, but you brought them through. We thank you. Lord, many, many others, we can't name all their names, but we just want to say we love you. We just want to say thank you that you're the God who hears our prayers. You're the God who answers our prayers. You're the God who heals and delivers, comforts. You're the God who saves. We worship you. We worship you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give him praise. Just give him a hand. Amen. Amen. It is so good to be here. It really is. You know, we're going through so many things and so much. And sometimes we get to the place and say, what's coming next? Because you really don't know what's around the corner. What could happen next? What could happen next? You know, a lot of things can happen, right? But I'm telling you one thing. God is the same today, tomorrow, and every day. He is the same. You can lean in. You can count on him. But there's five things here I'm going to give you right off. The five things that's going to help you get through what you're going through. Promise. That's God's promises. Promise, hope, faith, unity, presence, and prayer. I'll give them to you again if you're writing them down. Promise, hope, faith, unity, presence, and prayer. I'm going to talk about unity a little bit today, as much time as we have left. But he gives us, when we begin to have these things, he gives us the ability to sense the future that he has for us. You just don't want to know the future of all of these other stuff. I want to know the future that God has for me. How about you? What is the future that God has for me? I know the enemy would like to do nothing but what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I know what he wants for my future. But I'm not looking for that. Are you? But when we have these five or six things working in our lives, we can begin to see from his perspective what God is going to give us in the future. I'm telling you, you don't mess with God's kids without him coming back and causing the enemy to pay. You're going to pay. You're going to pay for messing with his kids, messing with God's kids. And the Lord said vengeance is his, not ours. Vengeance is his. And so we need to take comfort in some of those words. You know, Paul said, behold the goodness, the mercy, and the justice of God. So we need to take note that God's a just God. You know, so I said, well, you know, God's just not fair. I said, he never said he was fair. Fair would make sure that you got the same thing somebody else got. That's fair. He's just. There's a big difference in just being fair and being just. And God's a just God. And we need to hang on to that. But, you know, can you imagine going through what we're going through, been through, and in the process of going through in the future without God? Can you imagine how it would be? It would be so overwhelming to go through what we're going through and what we've gone through without him. You know, but how many of you believe that Jesus is the answer? Jesus is the answer. So, going on, I may have to go to another mic, but we'll have to be still, I think. If Jesus is the answer and you want the answer, who do you have to pursue? Jesus. See, we can't stop our pursuit. We got to feed on his word, feed on his presence, feed on what he's given us. And we'll be able to get the answers that we never thought we'd ever be able to have. And some of them will be revelatory. Some of it will be a revelation that comes to you that you've never seen before, never heard before. Some of it will be the wisdom that he's already given you and I. And we have been gifted with the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Holy Spirit. And he is operating and moving in our midst and in our being, guiding us, leading us, into not just a little truth, but to all truth. All the truth about what? All truth. All truth. Amen. It's where he's leading us into. And the truth that we don't know, he's leading us to find it, to discover it. You know, there's some things, you know, when you walk and go on a trail or something, there's some things that's just laying on the surface, and you can pick it up and say, wow. And that's the same thing in the scriptures. On the surface, you can pick up things and say, wow. But to find the treasure, the real jewel, they're deep. You have to do a little digging. You have to do a little research. You have to do a little praying. You have to do just digging in and pressing in. You know, Paul said, I want you to understand something. I've not yet achieved the fullness of what he needs to achieve in himself. I'm not arrived. And we're talking about Paul saying he's not arrived. He said, but one thing he does, what does he say? I press on. There's a pressing. There's a pressing on. Even what we've gone through, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing forward. I'm moving on. And he said, I want to apprehend. I want to grab hold of what has grabbed hold of me. I want to grab hold of the destiny that he grabbed hold of me for, and I want to grab hold of that. Because that's why he grabbed hold of me. That's why he apprehended me. And I want to apprehend that as well. See, but enemy shows everything he possibly can to get you to turn loose of God. See, and the thing is, well, do you have God? Does God have you? I'm going to tell you, it's both. He's in me and I'm in him.
Amen.
You can't separate us. See, it's not something about his presence that I've got to hang on to or that I've got to make sure he stays in me. No, he's in me. He's in me for the long haul. How about you? He's in me for the long haul, through the ups and the downs, through the diseases and through not having diseases. He's in it for the long haul. We're in it for the long haul. We're in him for the long haul. And what the enemy wants us to do is for us to lose our concentration and lose our confidence in who he is as we go through this. How many of you have silently said, you don't have to raise your hand, and then sometimes said, God, where are you? What are you? What's going on here? You know, I've asked God. I mean, it's okay to question God. I want to know. How many of you want to know? I mean, we have to press in to be able to know these things, because some things are just not on the surface. Some things are a little bit deeper. You know, I know one thing. My phone time over the last 5 weeks, my phone time has gone sky high. And the reason for it, I'm calling. I'm checking on you. I'm texting you. I'm trying to find out, how are you? What do you need? How are you? What's going on? What do you need? How are you today? How are you the next day? I remember 2 days in particular that I had to actually charge my phone in sort of mid-afternoon because I'd done run it out of battery. I had to charge it up to be able to keep it on charge. Why? Still checking on you. Why? Because we love you. We want to know. We've been praying for you. You know, so we have to press in. You have to do things differently than you once did them. You know, and you just be led by the Holy Spirit to do these things. You know, so we can't find everything on the surface. So we have to change and modify being led by the Spirit to be able to do the things that needs to be done to take care of his people. So you belong to him. You don't belong to me. Pastors ask, how many people do you have? And I said, I don't have any. No. Yeah, you did nothing. No, they're all his. Now, he's given me responsibility for his people, but they're his people. They don't belong to me. You know, I can't treat you like a possession. I got to treat you like you're God's daughter, you're God's son, you're God's children. And we have to treat you and care for you. And you know, see, the thing is, it's just not caring for you spiritually and giving you the spiritual things that you need to eat. But we have to take care of you physically. That's the reason. That's another reason we have security. Why do we have security that goes through all this training in case something happens? We want to be prepared to make you safer. Unity. God wants us to know that we are one. Over in John 17:22 is a prayer of Jesus to the Father, and he says this: the glory that thou hast given me, Father, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. The glory that you have given to me, I have given to them, that they may be one. Oneness is very crucial in the kingdom. Oneness. That's the reason the enemy would like nothing better than for us to be at each other's throat. With our opinions and with all of these things that we're faced with, that culture is pushing and pressing in on us. See, one of the things we cannot lose is our unity together. We are one people. God said, Jesus said, the glory, the essence of who I am, the character of who I am, I have given to them.
Amen,
the essence and the character of who I am, you've given me, and I have turned and given it to them. You know what that means? You got it. I got it. We got it. The thing is, we have to work that out and live for what he's put in. Work out your own salvation. What part of salvation? All the character of Jesus coming out of us, living in him and living out of the things that he's already put in. A lot of us have learned over the years, I have to work to get it. Mm-mm. You say yes to him, you've got it. We've got to be able to apply how that works out. What does that look like in the process of doing his love, his long-suffering, his patience? He's already put that in us. You don't have to work to get it. You have to look and say, okay, how can I attach myself in my behavior to what's already inside me? What's already inside me? See, unity is not uniformity. You know, there's people that wants everything to be uniform, everybody to say the same thing, think the same way, everybody's the same. No. Biblical unity requires diversity. It's a requirement. For biblical unity to be true and genuine, it comes from diversity, not from uniformity. It comes from diversity, becoming one people. See, we're all diverse. We're all diverse. I come from different backgrounds, different families, different places. All of us are very diverse. But see, coming together in him and under him and in him and him and us, we become one people, one person. That's the reason the enemy wants to separate us and divide us. All he's got to do is just get us to divide amongst ourselves. And what did Jesus, what did he say about division? A house against itself will not stand. That's the reason he's working so hard to keep us divided. Now, listen, divided does not mean I don't get to go to church. That is not what he's talking about. The division of us not being one, it's not about being physically together. We need that, don't we? But see, here's another thing. This 5 weeks, we never forsook it. That's not a forsaking. See, like I said, some people get happy, some people get mad, you know. But the thing is, understand the scriptures. Understand what it's saying. But see, it's not a forsaking, it's not a walking away from, never to go back. So anyway, he wants us to understand that we don't, you know, the true biblical unity does not tolerate, listen to this, does not tolerate diversity. It celebrates it. See, we just don't say, okay, we're just going to put up, tolerate. No, we're going to celebrate the diversity. All the giftedness that's in here. See, we would not be, if everyone, Brenda, you need to remain quiet. See, that was, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If everyone was like me in this congregation, and Bruno said, oh, my goodness, what a mess it would be. But we can't be, and that's the reason a church, a family cannot be surrounded or have at its center the pastor. It has to be, the center has to be Jesus. Has to be Jesus. Now, we're leaders, and we have appointments on our life to lead God's people. But it does not, this congregation does not, is not surrounded in just me being the center. It's not me, it's him. He, when I go, he's going to still be here. Do you understand what I'm saying? The thing is, but if I work hard to make sure that you're always looking to me, you're always running everything about your life, about you know, through me, you know, we're in trouble. See, it's about him. So every leader spiritually be leading you to him. What is it? I mean, in a lot of counseling, I say, what does Jesus say about it? What does the Bible say about it? Because I want to know what he says about it, don't you? Jesus is the answer. To find the answer, you're going to have to pursue Jesus. Right? So anyway, we get to this thing. So this, I got so much to tell you. Ray Hughes said this. Pray for Ray Hughes, too. He's been sick for quite a while. But I remember him saying, he said, man, I feel like I'm a water hose hooked up to a fire hydrant. I just ain't no way I'm going to get all of this out, you know. Today's Ray's birthday. Yeah, today's his birthday, too. But be praying for him. But let me tell you something. Why is it that we should? Like I said, I'm not going to be able to get all of this in, so I'm not going to try to. But why is it that Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 4, go there, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Well, what is that, Paul? I mean, you know, what is the calling? What have I been called to? And he tells us in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness. That word all actually goes before every one of these words. All humility, all gentleness, with all patience, always showing forbearance to one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One translation says, endeavor to keep it. Well, let me tell you something about this unity. You cannot create it, and you cannot achieve it. You cannot create unity, and you cannot achieve unity. Why? Because it has given to you the glory that I've given, that you've given to me, I give to them that they've become one. One. It's by the Holy Spirit. We have the unity by the Holy Spirit, by the Word, by the gift that God has given us. Then he says, endeavor to keep it. Work hard at it to keep it in the bond of peace. How do you work hard at it? But see, we want to really jump to that. How many of you ever jumped to that one first? Look, we're not doing real good here and walking together. We're not doing real good in our unity right now. So let's just work harder in making sure that we're one. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know why? We left out verse 1. We left out verse 2. We left out that part. Because it says, with all humility, all gentleness, all patience, and all forbearance and love of one another. Then it says, being. He said, what that's done is prepared you to be diligent about the unity. When you have humility, when you have gentleness, when you have patience and the forbearance and love. When you and I begin to live those things out, he said, then you can work hard to keep unity. See, we want to try to work hard to keep unity without being humble. If you're not humble, guess what you want? It's two words. Mine, your way. Yeah. Without humility, it's all about you. It's all about your way. See, you got to be gentle. You got to have humility. You got to have gentleness. You got to have patience, and you got to have forbearance. You know that word about, you know, everybody said, "Well, I know what patience is. I know what gentleness is. I know what humility is." It's one thing to know; it's another thing to live it. I remember Rick Joyner years and years ago was in Charlotte, had a big conference, and there was about 5,000 people. It was 2,500 here and 2,500 in another place. And he stood up and he said this. You know, he's had a conversation with God, And he said, I asked God, and I said, God, what are we known for? You know, how are we known? He said, you're known for your strong prophetic stand and your strong prophetic voices and your strong prophetic teaching. I mean, that's great. That's awesome. Man, that's good. He said, but that's one thing you're not known for. See, you always got to be careful with God. You'll ask him this question, and he'll answer that question. Then he'll make another statement and ask you one. We make another mistake, and he'll ask us one. So he said, there's one thing you're not known for. And he said, what is it? He said, you're not known for your love. You're not known that you're a loving person. And then all of a sudden, the clanging of cymbals and all of this came to Rick's mind. But he openly said that in front of 5,000 people. Well, it becomes the realization that you can have all the tongues of angels and all the prophecies and all that. You can have all that. He said, but if you don't have love, zero. Rick said it changed his life. Didn't change his prophetic positioning and his gifting, but it changed his living. I think it's just awesome, you know. But so when you look at this thing about forbearance, you know, we see patience, but what is forbearing? What is bearing? Because another one says, bear ye one another's. But what is this forbearing? Forgiveness. It's what? Forgiveness. Yeah, forgiveness. Well, no, not really. But it's to hold up oneself to endure. To hold up oneself I'm going to keep it together. You got me? I'm going to keep it together. How many of you know that we got to keep it together? See, when you look at this, keeping it, this word, when you look at that, it's something that you do in concert with him. You do in concert with him. You hold up oneself, to hold up oneself, to endure in regard to the errors and weaknesses of another person. Somebody made an error. What's God calling you for? Forbearing. Somebody's weaker. Why? They got a different opinion. They got this, they got that. Why? What's forbearing? I'm not going to throw you away. You know, the church is known a lot of times for shooting their own wounded. They're walking crippled and they're walking a certain way because they're weaker, but yet then we say, I need to move on so I can gain strength somewhere. That's not the way of God. And you won't have unity unless you have forbearance. Why? Because you're going to have people that are weaker and you're going to have people around you that are going to be making errors. They're going to be making mistakes. So what must we do? Must reach internally and hold ourselves accountable to the things that God has told us to hold ourselves accountable to. And don't walk away. Don't discard somebody because they're weak and because they made an error. This thing about forbearance, the model of that to me is the father looking for his son to come home. He went every day on that porch doing what? Watching. What was he looking for? He was waiting for his son to come home. He didn't give up on him. Didn't throw him away. Didn't ride him out of the wheel. Forbearance. Put up with his error. Why? Looking for him to change. Looking for him. Yeah.
I have a testimony of what God did to me to have forbearance for someone. Okay. Years ago, I was going to a Christian singles ministry. It's where I met my husband, Mark. And there was this guy there named Bob Dingle. And he was always just trying to get my attention, and he was really, really annoying me. So one day I'm at home and I'm just praising the Lord and say, oh, Lord, Lord, I just love you so much. I love you, I love you, I love you. And he says, I'm sorry, this is 40 years ago practically. He says, Janet, do you love me? I said, yes, Lord, yes, I really love you. He says, Janet, do you love Bob Dingle? I said, no. Well, I'm calling you to love him. That's forbearance. And when the Lord gave me that, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to love Bob Dingle. And I gave him loving attention that he was hungry for. And you know what? He stopped annoying me. That's what this
Amen.
Is.
Amen. Amen. Did you say his name was Bob Engle?
Dingle.
Dingle.
Dangle, I don't know what.
Dangle, dangle. I started to say if it was Bob Engle's, maybe he started a grocery store because you started loving
no,
it.
No.
I'm messing with it. You know. But see, right in the middle of your worship, you know, but Jesus talks about that in the Bible. He said, when you're coming to the altar, you're in the midst of your worship. And there, remember. I don't want to remember that. And there, remember. There's somebody's got aught with you. There's something not right between you and a brother. And there, remember, you try to say, I'm not going to remember that. I just want to worship you. I just want to worship you. I don't want to remember that. I don't want to remember. I just want to worship you. I don't want to praise you. I don't want to remember that. I don't know. I don't want to think about me not loving anybody. I don't want to think about the way I treated somebody. No, he said, and there, remember. Why do you remember it there? Because he takes your worship very seriously. And he takes your living just as serious as he does your worship. But thank you. Thank you for that. God brings us into that. But, you know, we live in days where it's high tension. Fuses are short. And tongues are shorter. Or maybe tongues are longer. Who knows? Knee-jerk reactions and temper tantrums thrown over the most. Forbearance, Terry, forbearance. I know. But see, God wants us to move away from this nonsense of this thing about, well, you're not uniforming with the rest of us. Well, that's not unity anyway. Why is it so, and I'll just give me a couple more minutes, a few more minutes, and I want to share this. Why is it so critical? You remember Jesus told, by the way, Jesus' last words was not, go ye therefore. His last words was, he says, don't leave Jerusalem. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes you with fire and clothes you with power. That was his last words. And clothes you with power. Without the power, you're not going to go, you therefore make disciples. So they went and all in one accord, right? All in one accord. They had, he spoke that to 500, but only 120 showed up. But 120 people showed up together in one place with one heart to him. Different backgrounds, different adversity, just all kind of adversity in that room. But yet that is what the Holy Spirit landed on. The unity of people coming together and being truly unified. And you know, he empowered them to speak a language that they never learned. That other people could hear and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing about it. Peter got up and here's what he said. Why is it so important? Look at this. He says, and Peter gets up. Peter's argument is this. He says, look, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk. They look like they are, but they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Then he goes on and he says, in the last days, and this is Acts chapter 2, verse 17. it shall be in the last days, Jesus said, I shall pour out my spirit. Watch this. Pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My sons and daughters shall prophesy. The young men shall see visions. The old men shall dream dreams. And even my bond servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So why is it so critical? In the midst of our unity, in the midst of our being one, the Holy Spirit moves in such a way, that when it says sons and daughters, he eliminates the gender division. Only men? No, it's men and women. He destroys this gender thing and says, no, you're one. You get it? Then he says, young men and old men. Young men and old men. What does it hit? He hits the ages. That means that the little ones, the young ones, has the same access to God as the older ones. It doesn't mean that just because you're older, you're smarter. It doesn't mean that. It should mean that do have some wisdom, but he levels the playing field. Says no, they have the same access. The same spirit's being poured upon them. So this thing about age. And then he goes on and says, my bond service. He said, between the rich and the poor, the class of people, all of that is leveled out. So why is it so important? Because of that. Because when he is operating and when he's flowing, when he's doing things, this is what's being, divisions are being destroyed. Oneness is being promoted, no matter if you're male, female, rich or poor, no matter if you're young or old. Everybody shows value. Everybody has value. Everybody has something that God has given. And everybody is celebrated. That's why we should endeavor, work hard. What does that mean? It means you're willing to pay the price to keep the unity. No matter what that price, you're willing to pay the price to keep the unity that he has given and not let it go away. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, not be divided. So when somebody has a bone to pick, let them pick the bone. You know, and just, okay, that's pretty clean. You know, I don't have to join in picking. Are you hearing me? There's sometimes you just leave it alone. Let it stand where it's going to stand. Don't get involved in it. Why? Because it's only going to lead it wrangling. The Bible talks about the wrangling with words. All it's going to do is wrangle words. It's going to be a war with words. No need to have the words. I mean, give the truth, love the truth, and love them. Forbearing. You're going to have it to be able to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. See, God wants us to live in such a way that no matter what we disagree on, that I will not let it and will not allow it to separate us to the place to where we can't love each other and continue on with God. That's what he's looking for. No matter what it is, because we're not going to be able to agree on everything, right? I mean, me and Brenda do. I got to repent. So there's a lot, so many things. And by the way, you know how diversity works in God's arena? He takes a man and he takes a woman and he says, say I do. And then you done it now. Wow, we're so diverse, we're so different, but yet we can become what? One. That's what God said, you become one. And that's what he's saying to this house. That's what he's saying to his church, his body, his people. Don't let anything stand in your way from that oneness. You maintain that, and you fight for it, and you pay the price to keep it. Sure. You pay the price to keep it. Does that make sense? So one of the first things we got to do is make sure that we repent. We repent of all this whenever we have somebody that's had somebody had a disagreement and they're real adamant about that disagreement, and then we had words and all that. Why? We got to repent. Why is that? Well, I don't want anything standing in our way. I want God to restore his heart of my walk, of your walk, into the place that no matter what this thing is, that I will stay conscious of his presence in me and his word flowing and his spirit flowing in me, that I can find the place that, I can agree with God to love him. I can agree with God to, be humble, to be gentle, to be, patient, and to have forbearance and to have love. Then I can endeavor to keep and to fight to keep the unity that we should have. So repentance first. You know, it's not coming down to the altar. It's changing your mind, agreeing with God. I've been going the wrong way here. So the enemy is after us. The enemy wants us not to be able to stand. And I'm telling you, they're the last. God's church, the one that Jesus is making, will stand so big, so bold, that the gates of hell won't prevail against it. That is happening. That is happening. And people, God's people is going to be strong, but we will have to do it together and not at one another. No matter what subject you want to pick, you can't be at one another. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, which is in the bond of peace. Amen? Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you so much for your love, your word, what you've done in our midst, what you're doing in our midst. And Father, help us not to revert back to this thing that the culture wants to do, to raise up one higher than the other one. Culture that wants to lift up this group and lower this group, say this group is bad, this other group is good. Lord, help us not to revert back ever again to that type of mentality, to that type of attitude, and help us to be restored in our heart with the love of Jesus in such a way. People who are humble, who are patient, who are gentle, who are forbearing in love, and that we then would be able to keep the unity that you've given us. And then with that, we shall have power to do the impossible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone here that does not know Jesus as your Savior, but you want to know him today? Anybody? Anyone here? Anybody? Okay. All right. I love you. I'll see you again next Sunday. Tell people we're back. Amen? Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.